My story. It's a lot like everyone else's. My parents tried to teach me what I should do. But most of the time, I ignored them. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I knew everything. I thought I could do it. I thought I could make the choices. But really, I had no idea what I was doing. I made so many mistakes, so many things that I could never take back. You know, isn't that how most of our stories go? You know, we thought we had it all figured out. We thought we had it all together. But in reality, we didn't. See, my parents tried to teach me. My parents told me what was right and what was wrong. My parents pushed me in the direction to make the best choices. So many times I truly did just ignore them. I felt like I had it figured out. But then I realized that I was making mistakes. I realized that I was going down some paths that I didn't want to go down. That I was making choices that had long-term consequences that I didn't want to have. So then I began to ask questions. I began to ask questions about life, about where I was going and what I was doing. You know, that's really what life is all about, right? It's just a series of questions that we then have to answer and make decisions based on the answers that we come up with. I mean, that's what life boils down to, is questions like, should I go to college? Should I date that person? Should I continue to date that person? Should I marry them? Should I have kids? How many kids should I have? Should I take that job or should I keep the one that I have? Am I prepared for retirement? Can I retire now? Should I retire now? You see, all of those questions we begin to come up with and we begin to ask, but it really comes down to the answers that we have. It really comes down to how are we going to answer the questions that are before us? How are we going to get to the place where we make the right decisions? See, that's what we've got to figure out. We've got to figure out what are the questions that we need to ask. See, because I think all those questions that I just mentioned are good questions. They're questions that most of us need to ask at some point in our life. But I think there's one question that outweighs all of those. I think there's one question that is way more important than any of those other questions. And that question is this: what does God want me to want? That is a profound question. What does God want me to want? See, so many times we think about God wanting me to do or not do, be or not be. But really, it's about what does God want me to want in my life? And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, man, I'm not even sure I believe in this God guy. That's okay. Follow along with us today. Stay engaged with us today. Because I think there's a question that you can ask too. But what does God want us to want? That's huge. That is so big. When we begin to think about what does that really mean? What does that really look like? That God wants me to want things. Well, what does he want me to want? Well, there was this guy named Paul. And you might know Paul because he wrote a whole bunch of this, of the New Testament, the part of the Bible that's Jesus' story and after. And in the book of Philippians, Paul tells us his story. And he begins by telling us how awesome of a Jew he was. And how he could trace his ancestors back, all the way back to the beginning of Israel. And he talks about and says, hey, I followed God with my life. And he says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. You know what Paul's saying there? Paul's saying, hey, I followed God with my life. When I ask the question, what does God want me to want? Paul says, I decided God wanted me to follow him. And so I began to do that, and I followed him with everything that I had. See, Paul was one of those religious leaders. When we read about Jesus' story, when we read about Jesus' life, he has interactions with the Pharisees, and that those were the religious leaders of the day. And that was Paul. Paul was one of those guys. And he says, I followed what God wanted me to do without fault. I did it. I did all of it. Even to the point that I began to look at these people that followed this guy named Jesus and decided they weren't following what God wanted. And so I decided to start persecuting them. See, Paul went and would arrest people that followed Jesus. He would come in here. At that point in his life, he would come into this room and begin to take us out and send us to jail or murder us. Because some of us say we follow Jesus. Paul says that is how zealous, that's how on fire, that's how excited I was about following what God told me to do, what I thought God wanted for me. But he says, hey, I was messed up. I was wrong. I didn't have the right answers. He says, and I fixed that. You see what happened in Paul's life is he was on the road. He was traveling to go to a place to arrest people, to put them in prison, maybe to sentence some of them to death for following Jesus. He was on the road to go do that, and he had an experience with Jesus. This bright light came out of the sky, and he had a conversation with Jesus right there on the road. And from that point forward, he began to follow this guy named Jesus. He began to live for God. And he says later on in Philippians chapter 3, he says, hey, you know what? I don't have it all together. I don't have it all figured out. I'm not perfect. And then he goes on. In chapter 3, verse 13, he's just said, hey, I'm not perfect. He says, no, dear brothers, I have not achieved it. I have not achieved this perfection. Because I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize from God through Jesus Christ. See, he says, I want to reach the end of the race. I want to get to the end. Now, I don't do this a lot, but with this passage, I get excited about looking back at the language that this was originally written in. See, it wasn't originally written in English. We had to translate it from this language called Greek. And obviously, if you know anything about languages, they don't use the same amount of words to say things and all that. And so in these two passages that we read this morning, Paul says, I was zealous for following God. I was zealous. I was excited. I was on fire for following God. And what I did was I went out and I put people in jail. That's how excited I was about it. And he says, hey, but I had it messed up in my head. And now I'm zealous about following God. And I press on towards the goal of finishing the race. Well, that word for zealous and press on, it's the same word. He says, you see, I didn't change my intensity. I just changed my focus. I didn't change how excited I was and how much energy I put towards doing this thing that I thought God wanted me to do. I didn't change my intensity level for going after what God wanted me to want. I just changed the focus. And you see, when we begin to ask the question, what does God want me to want? We just need to change the focus, not the intensity. Maybe some of us need to up the intensity, but we need to stay focused on this idea of going after what God wants us to want. But what does that look like? How do we do that? How do we begin the process of going after what God wants us to want? Well, the first thing we've got to do is I think we've got to look at and we've got to ask this question. We've got to say, well, what do I need to start doing? What do I need to start? You know, maybe I need to start reading this thing called the Bible. Now whether you're going to read it in a physical form or you're going to pull out your phone or your tablet or your computer and you're going to read it in a digital form, I don't think the format matters. I think it's, are we reading this thing, this love letter from God to us? Are we reading it? Are we spending time with it? Are we hearing from God? Maybe you said, hey, I've never done that before. I don't know where to start. Well, I think there's a couple ways to start. I think the first one is you could go to somewhere like Bible.com, or you could download the Bible app on any of your devices, and they've got some reading plans in there, and you can find one of those and begin to read through that. I wouldn't recommend starting on page one and just trying to read straight through, because I think you'll get overwhelmed and I think you'll stop. Not that there isn't good stuff in there, it just begins to become overwhelming sometimes. I think if you've never read and you say, hey, I'm not sure about this reading plan, I think I'd turn to the book of Mark and I begin to read the story of Jesus in the book of Mark. I think we've got to begin to read this thing. We've got to spend time with it. Maybe it's that you need to get involved with a journey team, an adult small group that's going to sit down and talk through and look at what we talk about here on Sunday and go a little bit more into it and begin to figure out, how do I apply it to my life personally? What can I do with it? Maybe you need to volunteer. Maybe you say, hey, you know what? I love kids and I would love to work in our preschool program or our kids venture program, our K through fourth grade, or maybe our fifth and sixth grade program, or maybe our youth program with junior high and high school students. Or maybe you say, hey, you know what? I love to bake cookies. I would love if I could just bake some cookies on Sunday morning. That would be great. Or maybe you're someone that wants to help with parking or ushering or greeting or whatever. Maybe you say, hey, you know what? I want to volunteer somewhere where nobody's going to see me because I just kind of want to hide in the shadows, and that's okay. Maybe you can come in and do some stuff in the office for us, or maybe some maintenance around the building or whatever. Maybe you need to find a place to volunteer. Maybe you need to do what Corey was talking about in his offering talk this morning and begin to find margin and ways to give financially to God. Maybe you need to find ways to have family time, to spend time with your family. You see, it's so interesting in our culture that we talk about, you know, family is important, and we look at that, we know that. But sometimes we think it's only about quality time with our kids. But I think it's much more about quantity time. You know, I spent some great quantity time with my 9-year-old daughter last night. We didn't say a word to each other. She sat on the couch with her head right here, and I probably squeezed her a few times because I was watching an intense football game. She has very little idea of what's going on in the game. She knows, hey, when we're watching Clemson, I need to figure out which team is Clemson. I need to cheer for them. But that's it. Like last night, she was totally confused because I was pulling for Florida State. But, you know, she just didn't know what was happening. She just doesn't follow along. But guess what? She was there with me. We were spending time together, and that's the key. That's the goal. That's the point. But maybe your family is just your spouse, or maybe it's your parents, or maybe it's your spouse and your kids. I don't know what that family looks like for you. But maybe you need to begin to start spending time with your family. Maybe you need to work on the relationship that you have with your spouse or your family. Maybe you just need to find a heart for people and begin to care about people around you and stop living in this garage door culture where we get home, we drive in our garage, we close the door, we go in, and we don't ever see or talk to anybody else around us. We love the self-checkout line at Walmart because that means I don't have to interact with anybody. Maybe we just need to start caring about people. But when we begin to find those things that we need to start because we've said, hey, what does God want me to want? And I say, hey, he wants me to have a closer relationship with him, or he wants me to have this or that. How do we start that? That's so hard. The starting process is the difficult part. You know, for me, there's been something in my marriage, in my life, that I've been wanting to do regularly for a long time. We've been married for a number of years, and we've never achieved a way to just make this happen on a regular basis. But you see, I found this great thing, and I'd say probably 90% of us in this room have this thing. It's called a smartphone. And I think even the non-smartphones may have this feature too. It's called an alarm. And I went in there and I set an alarm to go off every day at 10:30 at night. To say, hey, you need to do this. Because I said, hey, I know this is important. I need to do this. And so that alarm started going off. And I'd say probably for the first month, I just hit stop and put my phone back away and I ignored it. But I finally talked with my wife and I said, hey, you know what? I've got this alarm. I just need your help to actually do it when it goes off. And she said, okay. So it goes off, and I go to hit the stop button, and she said, hey, we actually going to do that? I said, yeah, okay, I guess. And so we began to do that, and it's been several months now, and I think there's only been a few times that we have not done that. And no, it is not what you're thinking. But you see, when we begin to leverage technology that's in our life and things that we have available to us, we can begin to help ourselves develop these things that we need to start. There's nothing wrong with setting an alarm on your phone to remind you to do something that God wants you to want. See, sometimes we look at that and we go, oh, I shouldn't have to have an alarm. I should just want to do it. Well, I do want to do it, but I need an alarm. I want to get up every morning, but guess what I need? I need an alarm to make that happen. Right? I mean, I want to eat supper at the right time, but I'll put it in the oven and I'll forget about it unless I set an alarm to go up and remind me that, hey, that thing is going to burn if you don't get it out. See, we use alarms all the time, but sometimes we have this idea, hey, I can't use an alarm to remind me to do this thing, to want this thing that God wants me to want. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, I would highly encourage it. So what is it that you need to start? What is it that you need to start? And then find a way to help you start that. Find that person that's going to help you. Find that mechanism that's going to help you. I think that's the easy one, though. What do I need to start? See, I think there's another question we need to ask. And there's some of us in this room that will not want to ask this question. We will not like the answer. So we don't even want to ask it. The question is this: what's getting in the way of what God wants me to want? What's getting in the way? What's stopping me? What's stopping me from wanting what God wants me to want? What's stopping me from doing the things, from accomplishing the things, from achieving these things that I want and that God wants me to want? What is getting in the way? What is it? It could be a whole bunch of different things. But you see, I think so many times we look at those things and we go, man, I can't stop doing that. This would happen or that would happen. But you know, there's a profound statement that I read getting ready for this talk. and said, you know, when we get to this place where we look at, hey, what are we, what's getting in the way? And this guy said this, he says, you don't know what you're missing if you stop. You might look at that, you might read that and go, what do you mean? I don't know what I'm missing if I stop. I definitely know what I'm missing if I stop. If I stop doing that, this isn't going to happen, and we only think about the things that we like, the things that are enjoyable that we're going to miss. What about the things that we're going to miss that aren't that enjoyable? You know, what about the fact that you're going to miss your daughter's piano recital if you don't stop working too much? Stop being in the office too long. So you don't even know that you're going to miss that. See, we're going to stop things, and things are not going to happen in our life. We're never going to know about it, but if they had, it would have been devastating. It would have been devastating to us. If we had continued to do those things and the consequences had been whatever the consequences were going to be, they would devastate us. But we don't even realize that. See, because we don't know what we're going to miss if we stop. But we also don't know what it's going to cost us if we don't stop. See, you don't know the cost. You don't know the cost if you don't stop. What's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you? What's going to happen in your life if you don't stop the critical negative thought processes that come about every single day for you? What's going to happen in your life if you continue to compare yourself to everyone around you? What's going to happen in your life if you don't stop just eating a 5-pound bag of M&Ms every night while you watch TV? What's going to happen if you don't stop watching those videos and movies that are questionable, have questionable morals, and are leading you down a thought process that you don't need to be at? What's going to happen if you don't stop neglecting your family? If you don't stop hanging out with those people that have an influence on you in the wrong way? What's going to happen if you don't stop drinking in excess? What's going to happen if you don't stop irresponsibly gambling? What's going to happen if you don't stop lying? What's going to happen if you don't stop living beyond your means? What's going to happen if you don't stop gossiping about people and slandering them? What's going to happen? See, you don't know what the cost is going to be. And God says, hey, I want you to want these things in your life because I know what the consequences can be. I know what the consequences can be. And I know what you need to want. And I want that for you. That's what God says. That is what God says. So how do we get there? How do we get to the place where we can stop these things and start other things? How do we get there? You see, I don't ever make New Year's resolutions. At least that's been my history. I can't remember a time in my life. I'm sure I did when I was a kid, you know, in school. They'd be like, hey, what was your New Year's resolution? You have to write, you know, like a paragraph about your New Year's resolution. I'm sure I did that. But I don't remember that. I made a conscious choice when I was in high school. I was never going to make a New Year's resolution because they were ridiculous. That's what I thought. But in 2015, I decided, hey, you know what? I'm gonna make a resolution for 2016. I'm going to decide to do something. And I'm going to tell you what it is in just a second. You're probably going to think to yourself, some of you are going to think, that's ridiculous. Why would you even make that? What's the point of that? But here it is. Here's what I decided for 2016, and I have just a few hours left to accomplish this. I mean, like, I have accomplished it. Like, I only have a few hours left to make it, and I will have achieved it. I decided that in 2016, I was not going to watch live television unless it was a sporting event. That unless I had recorded something on my DVR, I was not going to watch it. Do you know I was able to lower my cable bill because of that? Because I realized I don't watch half the channels that I have. The only reason I have cable still is because I'm a college football fan. That is literally the only reason that I pay for Dish Network every month. But what did I gain? I gained time with my kids and my wife. I gained time to do things that I enjoy doing, that I didn't even realize that I wasn't doing them anymore. You see, I made that a goal. I made that a resolution, if you will. And will I continue that into 2017? I don't know, probably, because I've seen the benefits of it. Do I think if I go home today and I watch live TV that doesn't have to do with sports, which isn't going to happen because of college football playoff day, but do I think that it's a sin? It's just going to push me away from God? No. See, there's things that we need to stop doing that aren't necessarily wrong or evil or sinful or anything. They're just things that are getting in the way of me wanting the things that God wants me to want. You see, it's so easy for us to get caught up in what does it benefit us, and we stop looking at the what is it costing us. What is it costing you? What is it that God wants you to want that you're not able to do right now? You see, we look at life, and I would guarantee that 100% of us in this room want to be successful. That whatever your definition of success is, you want to have that. That there's very few people in the world that go, nah, I just want to be a failure. Most people don't have that thought process. Some people live that way, but they don't have that thought process. They want to succeed. But you see, we have the wrong thought about what it takes to get a successful life and to have a successful life. See, we think it's about, did I choose the right college? Did I choose the right person to marry? Did I choose the right job? Did I choose the right car? Whatever it is, you know, these big monumental decisions in our life, you know, these 4, 5, 6, 10 things that we make a choice on, did I make the right choice on those things? But you see, I heard something recently, and actually every single one of you in this room, that if you were paying attention, you heard it today as well. Because it was in the video that we watched before I started talking. And the lady said this. She said, a successful life is not made up of a few big decisions, but hundreds and hundreds of little ones. You see, we think about a successful life of, did I choose the right thing here and the right thing here and the big thing here and the big thing there? Did I make those right choices? It's not about that. It's about, did I choose to do the right little things? Did I choose to spend those 5 minutes reading God's word this morning, or did I choose to do something else instead? Did I choose to listen to my kid when they had a question, or did I blow them off? Did I choose to do that thing that my wife wanted me to do, or did I choose to forget about it? See, it's those small little decisions. It's those small things, those things that we look at and go, man, those aren't big. Those aren't that important. But it's those small things that change our life. You see, as we prepare for 2017, I want to challenge you to do something. Something that we don't do a lot today in our world and our culture. You see, we don't take the time sometimes to think about our decisions, those little ones, right? We pull out our phone and we send a text and hit send and then go, oh, autocorrect was messed that thing all up. Now it makes no sense and I got to send another one. See, the thing about this typewriter sitting here, this old manual typewriter that is really hard to type on, because you see, my fingers are not accustomed to having to press really hard. I can't even type my normal, you know, I'm a decent typer, but not on this. Because I have to think about every single letter. And then it jams because I hit two at once. You see, we need to sit down. And we need to think. We need to think about what it is that God wants us to want. And if you're that person that says, I'm not even sure I believe in God, that I would challenge you to do something this year in 2017 is to take some time and begin to seek him and ask him and say, God, are you really there? Do you really care? But maybe you're someone that's, you're completely sold out. You are all about it. You are 100% convinced that God loves you and wants the best for you and wants you to want the right things. But you see, we all need to take some time and think about what do we need to start and what do we need to stop? What is it that God wants us to want? And then we need to begin to pursue those things and go after those things. You see, we fire off messages so fast in today's world that we don't think. So I'm going to challenge you to do something. I'm going to challenge you to do something that I've already told you that I'm not a big, huge fan of. And that's to sit down and come up with some thought processes for 2017. Some, we'll call them resolutions since that's what most people call them. But here's what I don't want you to do. I heard on the radio a couple days ago that the number one New Year's resolution for 2017 is not lose weight, it's not get in shape, it's not anything like that. It is to be a better person. And I heard that and I went, really? That's like the worst resolution ever. How are you going to measure that? How are you going to figure out if you achieve that? So if that's your resolution, that's great. But I think you need some bullet points underneath it. And I think those bullet points need to be, what are you going to start and what are you going to stop? I think you need to give yourself some deadlines. I think you need to put some things in place to say, I'm going to achieve this by this time. I'm going to achieve that by that time. And I think you need to tell some people what those are. I think you need to tell some people what those resolutions are, what those goals are. Because otherwise, you're not going to achieve them. Take some time and think about what it is that God wants you to want and what you're going to do about it. God, thank you. God, thank you that you love us, that you want a relationship with us. And God, that you want us to want things. God, you want us to want the things that are best for us in our life. And God, I pray that you would help us to do that. Even today, as we prepare for a new year. God, as we look to just the last few hours of 2016, God, that you would help us to set some goals for 2017. God, that we would stop looking at the past and looking at and thinking about the things that we failed, the things that we didn't accomplish, maybe the resolutions that we made a year ago and we haven't accomplished yet. God, help us just to push those aside, as Paul said, to move on, to get past the past, to put it behind us, and to move forward into the future and to press on towards the goal of following you. God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to want the things that you want us to want. God, help us to ask the hard questions. The questions like what we need to start and what we need to stop. God, help us to figure those things out, to put those things in place. And God, those of us that have some of those habits, maybe they're new habits, maybe they're things that we've just put in place, help us to continue them. To put things in place to help us remember to do the things that we want to do. God, I pray for our students, our junior high and high school students that are away at camp right now. God, I pray that you would help them to see you in a way that they've never seen you before. God, that they would come back excited about a relationship with you and excited about 2017 and what you want to do in their life and what impact they can make on the world around them. God, thank you. Thank you that you love us, that you want the best for us. God, I pray for everyone in this room that you would keep us safe tonight, that you would help us to make the right choices, the right decisions as we celebrate the end of a year and the beginning of a new one. God, thank you for you, that you sent your son, that we could have a relationship with the creator of the universe. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.